I want to read tonight in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And I want to begin with verse 24. This passage of Scripture is, well, we've titled it Face to Face with God. And but this passage is kind of centering around one individual, although there's many individuals that that is in the presence. But we know Thomas, and about all my life, I've heard people say, "Don't be a doubting Thomas," and they're real critical about Thomas and the fact that he struggled believing. He had a lot of doubt. But I want to kind of spend a little time on him and different things in this passage, and I hope it can be a help to us tonight. But let's begin to read verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of nails, and put my finger into the print of nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." So he was pretty determined. He was pretty determined that that he wouldn't believe unless he experienced Jesus. And so we'll continue reading. It says, "And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy fingers, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of David, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for those that are here. We thank you for those that are watching, the viewing. And Lord, I pray that you'll spend some time with us, that we'll just get a glimpse of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we one day believed. We're thankful for salvation. But Lord, we realize that there's struggles in people's lives. There's doubts. There's difficulties. But help us, Lord, to stay focused on you. And Lord, we pray that you'll speak to hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I look at Thomas, and in a lot of ways, I see a lot of people that I meet. At one time in my life, I see myself. We struggle believing sometimes because it's something that we've not experienced. Now, the disciples, they said to Thomas, "We've seen the Lord." And Thomas immediately said that, and I'm kind of paraphrasing the verse, but he ultimately said, "I'm not going to believe unless I experience. I'm not going to believe unless I experience. I want to experience putting my fingers, my hands into the scars." And he was pretty determined. But if we back up just a little bit, we have to understand that he wasn't present, and we'll get to that in just a few moments, but I just want to make mention, he wasn't present with the disciples. So they got to see Jesus firsthand. They got to experience his presence. They got to experience the resurrection. They got to experience all these things. And Thomas not being there, then he struggled. And that got me to thinking a little bit. This is just kind of a thought. That got me to thinking a little bit. You know, we're in church many times 2 and 3 days a week, if not more, on different occasions. And we're hearing the word, we're fellowshipping, we're spending time with the Lord, we're spending time in his word, we're fellowshipping in song, and we're doing all those things. But those people that we come in contact with every day, they're not experiencing what we experience. So when we start talking to them, then they kind of look at us with a little bit of a doubt. And sometimes we're like, but you need to believe. You need to understand. But yet we're asking them to do as the disciples were asking to do with Thomas. And so he was bold in saying, I'm not going to believe unless I experience. I'm not going to believe. And that should make us ever more thankful that we are able to come to church and that we're ever more thankful that we're spending time together and that we spend time in his word and that we understand by faith that Jesus is real. We understand by faith that Jesus died for our sins. And that should make us pray even harder for those that we come in contact with every day. And that should make us pray even harder because there's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of doubt. And I believe that one of Satan's many tactics is doubt. Is doubt. If he can cause us or those that are in the world to doubt, because everything that centers around Jesus Christ is believing. Believing. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so it's all about believing. It's all about believing that he died for our sins. It's all about believing. We accept it by faith. But we still have to believe. So if Satan can cause doubt, as Thomas was doubting, because Thomas wasn't there, Thomas didn't experience what the other disciples had experienced, then he's doing what he set out to do, and that is to cause doubt. He knows what can hurt people. He knows what some of our weaknesses are, and I don't know necessarily when it comes to Satan, because Satan is not omnipresent like the Lord is. He knows us in every way. The Lord knows us in every way, but I'm not so sure Satan does. But I do know that he knows what man is, and he knows the struggles of man. And so he's going to put things in our pathway, he he's going to put things in our pathway that can cause us to doubt. I mentioned Job recently, and I'll mention him again tonight. Job was one that was living for the Lord, and Satan was going to and fro, and he had a conversation with the Lord, and the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan ultimately said, "Well, you're protecting him. He's not going to deny you. He's not going to stumble." And so ultimately there was an allowance that was made that he could do everything but take his life. And so Job slowly began to lose things. He began to lose his health. He began to lose his funds. He began to lose his family. But you start thinking about that, And we look at that individual, and that's not, is that not some of the things that Satan is still trying to do today? You think about people that's struggling financially. You think about people that's struggling in their family life. And they're struggling in a lot of ways with their family. And then, yes, we struggle with our health sometimes. So in reality, isn't Satan trying to do the same things in the world today? And then, the influence of his wife, speaking of Job, and she said, why don't you just curse God and die? Well, how many times in your life, I've had it said to me, and they've said, what's the point? What's the point? When things don't go your way, or when things don't go the way you pray, or you're hoping that something happens, and then the very first thing that takes place in your heart, you're thinking, if you're not careful, you're thinking, what's the point? What's the point? I've done everything that I'm supposed to do. I've prayed, I've done this, and I've done that. And then we say, and then things doesn't work out just right, and then the first thing that Satan wants us to do is turn our backs on God. Isn't that ultimately what Job's wife was doing? Why don't you just curse God and die? And then his friends come in the picture, and his friends were trying to come and be an encouragement. But let me say this, be cautious, because the friends ultimately said, Job, you're in this condition because of something you did. And you just need to repent and get right with the Lord. But in reality, Job was doing everything he was supposed to do, but yet he was still troubled. And all these things were taking place in his life. And so all these situations, you took Job's wife, you took Job's friends, and all those things, in reality, center around doubt. Doubt. Which is the same thing that's centering around the world today. You see, Satan don't mind religion. But what Satan minds is Jesus. It's not religion. There can be some formal religion, and we can do different things, and there's religions out there that can do certain things, and we got visited the other day that we feel like was a form of religion, but they didn't leave a brochure at the door. But the point is, Satan don't mind if you have religion. But what Satan minds is if you have Jesus. If you have Jesus. So doubt. So the struggles that Thomas was having is ultimately the same struggles that people have today. And we should be cautious, because the disciples said, we've seen the Lord, because they had experienced it. They had experienced the Lord coming. They had experienced. And then out of a reaction, Thomas says, I'm not going to believe unless I get to touch his scars. Ultimately is what he's saying. I had that said to me one time, something similar. When I was young and I hadn't been saved long, and I just couldn't figure out why one of my friends, and I don't know even still today, if I don't know that he's ever accepted Christ, but I don't see him. I haven't seen him in a good number of years. But I hadn't been saved long, and I was witnessing, and I was talking, and I was doing all these things, kind of like the disciples were doing. And I told my friend, I said, hey, Jesus died for your sins. And his comment was something like this. He said, well, I'll believe if he comes down and tells me. It's just hard for me to believe that something that I've not experienced. Well, ultimately, that's what Thomas said. That was Thomas's mindset, and that's the world's mindset today. They have an easier time believing in religion than Jesus. Because religion is all about doing. Religion is all, you know, if it's kind of like religion is dotting your I's and crossing your T's. And once you do that, then you'll be okay. But in reality, religion is what gets you to heaven. Religion will cause a person to go to hell just as quick as anything else. Religion will cause a person to go to hell just as quick as a bar room. Because it's not about doing, but it's about everything that He's done. It's about Jesus Christ dying for our sin, and it's about believing. But yet the problem here in this passage of Scripture is Thomas was having trouble believing. Well, that's kind of where the world is today. They're having trouble believing. And we can be critical of Thomas, and many times you hear people being critical, but I just see Thomas doing the same thing that the world's doing, is they're having trouble believing. And so I just want to give you just a few thoughts this evening, because if Satan can cause a person to stumble by doubting, then it's almost like he's got his foot in the door. And that's what he sets out to do. You know, Satan doesn't rest. You know, he's wanting people to stumble. He's wanting people. And that's why it's important for us to lift each other up in prayer, and it's important for us to hold each other close as believers, as a body, because we never know how Satan is going to be on the attack for each one of us in different ways. He's going to be on the attack, and he's going to cause doubt, and it can happen to me just as quickly as it can happen to you when we start thinking. Sometimes we think too deeply about things, and when we think too deeply about things, we begin to panic, and we'll say, "Oh, if this doesn't happen, then everything's going to fall apart," or you know, it could be a number of things. But the point is, that's why we need to pray for each other. And we need to help each other and lift each other up and encourage each other, because Satan is on the attack. And Satan is trying to cause doubt. And Thomas doubted. And he was pretty bold. Thomas was very bold in saying, "Except I shall see his hands and put my fingers, my hands and print of nails." He actually says the words, "I will not believe." And that was from the words Thomas himself. But I want us to look at this experience and this event tonight, this time period. And I want us to, first of all, I want us to not as much focus on Thomas right now as what was taking place. You see, Jesus had died on the cross. And there was still some trouble with understanding, and there was still some trouble. You know, Jesus had followers, and all these things were taking place. The emotion, I would venture to say, the emotions were very high. There was a lot of fear. There was a lot of turmoil. There was a lot of anxiety. There was a lot of things that were taking place. But then Jesus appeared. And so I want to say this, that when Jesus comes on the scene, it's a wonderful experience. And we see that in verse 19. The Bible says, "In the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled." See, they were together. They were helping each other, but it also says that they were in fear because they feared the Jews. But yet, that's it. That's why it's so important that we hold each other close, because they were together, and yeah, they were afraid of the things that were happening, but then Jesus came on the scene. And that's why we call it a wonderful experience, because Jesus came on the scene, and the first thing he said was, "Peace be unto you." And that fear, and that anxiety, and all those things, I suspect, took a back seat because they saw Jesus. And that's why we come to church. That's why we come and we fellowship and we spend time together, because our desire is to see Jesus. Our desire is to feel His presence. Our desire is to kind of overcome some of these fears and some of these doubts and some of these problems and fellowshipping together and pray. So they had saw the Lord, and we need to see the Lord, even in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of life. But you know, if we really look out, we can see Him. We can see Him in life. We can see Him in creation. We can see Him in our salvation. And that should bring encouragement. In seeing the Lord, they saw the resurrected Lord. They experienced the power of God. They experienced the power of God. How important that was for Him to say, "Peace be unto you." The Bible says in verse 20, "And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side." Well, isn't that what Thomas is looking for? Jesus showed him. So that tells me He knows the heart. He knows what people struggle with. He knows our doubts. He knows our struggles. He knows the things. And the thing that Thomas asked for was what Jesus was showing. Jesus was showing. He showed him His hands. He showed him His side. And then the disciples became glad because they knew it was Jesus. The Bible said that they saw the Lord. And then Jesus speaks again to them and He says, "Peace be unto you." So He says it twice. "Peace be unto you. As My Father has sent Me, even so send I you." Now they have a mission. They have seen the presence of the Lord. And they have seen Him. They've experienced Him. They've experienced that peace from fear because they were afraid of the Jews. And they now had experienced His presence. They experienced His peace. But yet they still now have a job to do. And that is to be an example to those that were around. And He even says, "Even so, send I you." You see, they saw victory in Jesus. They experienced victory in Jesus. They saw victory over death. They saw victory over hell. And they saw victory from the grave. Well, you start thinking about it, and isn't that what people are struggling with? People are afraid of dying. People are afraid of where they're going to spend eternity. People are afraid of death. And that's why they try so many things. You know, that's why people, I wonder sometimes if that's not why, there's these things that say, well, you know, there's things that you can take and there's supplements and all those things are good within its reason. But in reality, unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and we understand that, but let's just say this, I guarantee that unless the Lord Jesus comes, that there's 100% chance that every one of us are going to die. 100% chance. You know, we go to a doctor and we get a prognosis and they'll say you have 80%, you know, and you can say all those things. But I'm saying tonight, unless the Lord Jesus comes back first, there's going to be 100% chance that every one of us are not going to be sitting here one day. 100% chance. So what do we do with that? What do we do? Well, He's telling them that I've got the keys. He's telling them that I have power over death, hell, and the grave. So therefore, we must follow Jesus. Religion can't do that. Religion can't guarantee it. But Jesus can. And Jesus was showing them these things. And then He gives them something else. He says the words in verse 22, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Receive ye the Holy Ghost. You see, they saw firsthand Jesus. They saw his power. They believed. They experienced peace. They experienced his presence. And we desire all those things. We desire peace in our life. We desire his presence. Well, we have that through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Ghost. So how did they happen to enjoy and how did they happen to experience this? By obedience. You see, in Matthew, the account of Matthew chapter 28, verse 10, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they may go into Galilee, and there they shall see me." They were just simply obedient. They were obedient. It wasn't about an education. It wasn't about funds. It wasn't about obedience, or it wasn't about abilities, but it was about obedience. And my challenge tonight is just be faithful. God will take care of everything else. Just be faithful. They were together because they were assembled together. Now, Thomas wasn't with them, but the rest of them were there, and they were together even in the difficult times because they were afraid, because they were fear of the Jews. They were afraid, but they were together. Which tells me that we need each other. That we need each other. There's nothing like praying for each other. There's nothing like praying for each other. And when you put all these things together, the obedience, being faithful, being together, they got to experience Jesus. And when they experienced Jesus, they experienced peace. Peace. No more turmoil at that moment, but they experienced peace. And I believe that he thought peace was important because he said it twice. He said, "Peace be unto you." They experienced Jesus. You see, the Lord knows and the Lord knew what they would soon face. The Lord knew. And he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They proved their faith by action. They proved their faith by action because they were present together. Now here's the contrast. The contrast was Thomas. And we can't be real hard on Thomas because in reality we probably, and I'm not speaking for you, but in reality though, I think if we were honest with ourselves, we probably doubt more than we should. We doubt. When things aren't going our way or when we think things aren't happening the way that we should, we doubt, and then if we're not careful, we begin to panic. And then we try to take matters in our own hands when in reality, God, if God's going to do anything, he's got to do it himself. We can't do it. Oh, we can put things in place, don't get me wrong, but we can't do it. So the contrast here is, what did he miss? What did Thomas miss by not being there? Well, he missed seeing the resurrection Lord. He missed the fellowshipping with the other disciples. He missed the unity. He missed Christ and Christ's words. He missed that peace that they were experiencing. Because there wasn't much peace in his life because he said, "I'm not going to believe." That's not a very peaceful life. When he has that determination and he says, I'm not going to believe. He missed the nail-pierced hands that he said, "I have to see," because the Lord showed him. He missed the commission where he says, go out. He missed the commission. He missed the Holy Ghost. He missed the rejoicing. Verse 20, where it said he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. He missed the rejoicing. You see, he missed a lot. Thomas had to wait. He had to wait 8 days before he got the other opportunity. And that brings up this. When someone gets under conviction, there's no time better than the present. There's no time better than the present. Now, I was one of the guilty ones when it comes to I knew that I needed to be saved, but I didn't say yes to Jesus the first time. I don't know how long it was. I'm just glad he kept convicting my heart. And I received Christ. But Thomas had to wait a little bit. But you know, I wonder, and I can't say this for sure, but I wonder, when he said those words, I will not believe, I wonder if it ever left his mind what the disciples had seen. Because that's how our mind works. Our mind, a lot of times, will think about something and we'll think about it and think about it and think about it. And then we kind of lose some sleep and we're troubled by something. And instead of just simply giving it to the Lord, we're troubled by something. And so I would venture to say that he was real troubled after what he was had experienced or not experienced, but what the others experienced. And he made those bold statements saying that I'm not going to believe unless I can do this or that. But I wonder, he had to wait 8 days. And so they had experienced it. So if he was around them in any way, if he was around them, they were probably talking about the experience. But he didn't get to experience it. So I suspect he was probably troubled and he was probably heavy-hearted. So he had to wait. Verse 26 says, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and this time, Thomas was with them. This time, Thomas was with them. Now I wonder here if he wasn't beginning to wonder. If he wasn't beginning to wonder. That if that statement that he made that was so bold that said, I will not believe, I wonder if the influence of those began to weigh on him. That's why it's so important that we live the Christian life in front of others. Because our influence can weigh on people. Can weigh on people. You know, we can't change a person, but Jesus can. We can't save a person, but Jesus can. But what we can do is we can be an influence. So this time, he was with them. This time, he would soon experience Jesus. Goes on to say in verse 26, and I'll begin reading it again. And after 8 days, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. And the doors being shut, he stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. And he zeroed in on Thomas. He zeroed in on Thomas and he said the words, reach hither thy fingers and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust into my side and be not faithless, but believing. I believe that when Thomas saw him, he was humbled. And he said, "My Lord, my God." You see, that's what Jesus will do. If we wait on Him, He changes a life. And He can change our life. My Lord and my God. He got to experience Jesus. He goes on to say, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." But he goes on to say, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." You realize that he's talking about those that receive Jesus by faith. I haven't seen him, but I believe. I haven't experienced him. I haven't seen the nail-scarred hands and feet. I haven't seen the pierced side. But I can tell you by way of testimony that I believe. That I believe. Doubt is a hindrance. Doubt is a hindrance. Doubt is one of the leading causes of people turning away from the Lord. We need each other. We need His presence. We need the fellowship. We need to spend time with Him. All these things that we see in this passage of Scripture, and I believe that when we have that, we'll have that peace. You see, there's people that's in turmoil, even people in church. There's people that's in turmoil that just needs peace in their life. Well, we get peace by believing. By believing. Thomas and the other disciples were face to face with God. Face to face. And when Thomas had that experience, 8 days later, he said the words, "My Lord and my God." If you're struggling tonight with doubt for any reason, the best place to find peace is in Jesus. The best place to find peace is in Jesus. We may not have all the answers, and we may not know what the answers are, but we can have peace when we're going through. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank You for our time together. And Father, as we have this invitation, if there's anyone here that's struggling in any way, that's struggling with doubt, that's struggling with peace in their life, Lord, we know the only way that we're going to have peace is in Jesus. So help us, Lord, to just come to You by faith and just simply believe. And Lord, I know that You'll give us that peace in our heart, even in the midst of doubt. So as we have this invitation, Lord, if You've spoken to someone's heart, help them to, by faith, come forward so that others may see. In reality, we probably, everyone, Lord, struggle with doubt in some way. But help us to put things in Your hands. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.